In that case, I want to welcome everyone back to the Board of Forestry virtual meeting room. Reminder for members of the public that if they would like to submit written testimony for the information items presented at this meeting, to send in your comments by November 17th so they can be included with the meeting record. And so next up is our item number six, my understanding that we will have a presentation from the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. Looks like we have both Commissioner Yamamoto and Commissioner Sweet. And with that, Commissioner Yamamoto, I assume you're going to kick off, but either way, go ahead.
Well, Chair Kelly, I think he's directed that I go first. So this is John Sweet. Chair Perfect. Kelly, acting State Forester Hirsch, incoming State Forester Mukamoto, members of the Board of Forestry and staff, I'm John Sweet, Coos County Commissioner and Vice Chair of County Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. I'd like to discuss the draft climate change and carbon plan that ODF has prepared. County Forest Trust Land Chair David Yamamoto's testimony today will note that the greatest permanent value administrative rule does not make any provision for managing state forests as a carbon sink. However, rather than repeat those arguments here, I'll focus on the substance of the draft CCCP. I thank ODF for their rewrite of the CCCP. They have improved the language around product substitution in the plan, but I note there is more to do. While changes in the plan would have ODF encourage the use of wood products, it does not direct the department to account for substitution effects when considering climate change impacts of harvest or harvest deferrals. The plan emphasizes only carbon in the forest and in wood products. But not the CO2 emissions avoided by substituting wood for concrete and steel in buildings. We have made some proposed revisions to the draft plan. It would take more time than we have here today to present these revisions, so they have been attached to the copy of this presentation that was scanned to the department last week. I believe each of you has a copy of the material, which includes not only the proposed revisions to the plan, but also two papers, one entitled Environmental Life Cycle Assessment and Life Cycle Cost Analysis of a High-Rise Mass Timber Building, and another published by Quorum, entitled Tracking Carbon from Sequestration in the Forest to Wood Products and Substitution. As one can tell from the titles, they make for fascinating reading. Their theme is that harvest and use of wood products are necessary components of maximizing the climate change benefits of forests. I'm not a scientist, but I think I can explain in layman's language the concept suggested by Quorum and the one that our advisory committee is endorsing. As a tree grows, it takes in CO2. The carbon component becomes wood fiber, creating a carbon sink, and the oxygen is released back into the atmosphere. As a part of a Northwest forest, that tree grows and continues to sequester carbon for years. The carbon component becomes wood fiber. Oh, I beg your pardon, I skipped a line here. However, as time goes by, the lower limbs on the tree die and start to rot. This rotting process releases CO into the air atmosphere, offsetting the amount of CO2 that is being sequestered by the forest. Ultimately, some trees crowd out others, causing them to die and rot also. The net rate of CO2 absorption is again reduced. Somewhere around 120 years of age, the amount of CO2 being generated by rotting wood equals the amount being absorbed from the atmosphere and converted into wood fiber, and the forest becomes carbon neutral. Ultimately, as the forest continues to age, more wood rots each year than is added, and the forest ends up releasing more CO2 than it consumes. If, however, the forest is harvested and replanted prior to the time it becomes carbon neutral, the replanted forest continues to be a carbon sink, and the wood that is converted into building materials continues to help mitigate climate change in two ways. One, it continues to sequester carbon in the form of lumber and plywood added to that sequestered in the new trees replanted and growing in the forest. And two, as a substitute for steel and concrete, the massive amounts of CO2 generated in the manufacture of these materials is avoided. Finding the sweet spot at which age to harvest to maximize beneficial harvest impact needs to be part of the conversation. I believe Quorum suggests somewhere between 40 and 80 years of age. That doesn't exactly pin down the optimum harvest age, but we can leave that to the department to decide. I would like to add a couple more comments to my written testimony. After I sent the written copy of my testimony for your board packets, I received the agenda for today's Board of Forestry meeting and noted agenda item 8, which seeks adoption of the draft CCCP. I will note that we, the County Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee, were not provided the current version of this of the CCP until mid last week. Our review of the current draft was completed immediately, and our recommended changes sent to you along with my testimony and other info late in the week. I see no way that the department could have reasonably made any of the suggested changes made by the County Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee a part of the final draft of the CCCP tendered you for adoption today. I therefore request that you table agenda item 8 until the DART department can review our recommendations for possible incorporation into the CCCP. Respectfully submitted, John Sweet.
Thank you, Commissioner Sweet. I appreciate that testimony very much. So let me begin my testimony. I'm Chair Kelly, members of the Board of Forestry, Interim State Forester Nancy Hirsch, newly appointed State Forester Cal Mukamoto, and ODF staff. I am David Yamamoto, Tillamook County Commissioner and Chair of the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. I am here today because FTLAC has a statutory responsibility to advise the Board of Forestry and the State Forester on matters which affect management of the State Forest Trust lands under ORS 526.156. Specifically, I'm here to discuss the draft forest management plan goals. I want to thank Interim State Forester Nancy Hirsch for her work over the past few months and welcome newly appointed State Forester Kel Mukamoto, with whom I look forward to a close and prosperous working relationship. A quick summary. The Forest Trust Lands counties have concerns about the draft forest management plan goals as they are currently written. These concerns are, firstly, the goals do not reflect ODF's contractual obligation to provide sustainable timber harvest and revenue to the trust counties. Second, the draft goals appear to go beyond the 1997 greatest permanent value administrative rule, which is ORS 629-035-0020. Third, the draft goals do not recognize the quote unquote management focus in the administrative rule. And finally, the Forest Management Planning Administrative Rule, OAR 629-035-0030, requires that the Forest Resource Management Goals state what, quote unquote, the state forester intends to achieve. The draft goals do not do this. ODF has a contractual obligation to provide sustainable timber harvest and revenue to the counties. Based in the 1941 Act, which is Oregon Laws 1941, Chapter 236, describing greatest permanent value. The primary goal driving management of the State Forest Trust lands is to provide sustainable timber harvest and revenues to the state, counties, and taxing districts. The jury in the Linn County case agreed with the counties that the state has a contractual obligation to manage these lands first for the generation of revenue. The jury awarded $1.065 billion to the counties, which is currently gaining interest at the state-mandated 9% interest rate. This adds $262,000 to the award every day, almost $100 million every year. The draft goals appear to go beyond even the 1997 Greatest Permanent Value Administrative Rule. Setting aside for a moment the county's position that the greatest permanent value must be interpreted in relation to the state's duty to fulfill its contract with the trust counties, FTLAC has a duty to notify the Board of Forestry that it appears that the draft goals offered by ODF go beyond the greatest permanent value definition, excuse me, even in the 1997 administrative rules. Excuse me. The draft goals do not reference timber management to produce revenue as a management focus of the plan, as required by the 1997 OAR on greatest permanent value. The administrative rule states, this is OAR 629-035-0020 sub 2, to secure greatest permanent value of these lands to the state, the state forester shall maintain these lands as forest lands and actively manage them in a sound environmental manner to provide sustainable timber harvest and revenues to the state, counties, and local taxing districts. This management focus is not exclusive of other forest resources, but must be pursued within a broader management context that first results in a high probability of maintaining and restoring properly functioning aquatic habitats for salmonids and other native fish and aquatic life. Two, protects, maintains, and enhances native wildlife habitats. Three, protects soil, air, and water. And fourth, provides outdoor recreation activities. The draft goals include statements that go beyond the specific language in this rule, as shown in Appendix 1 of this testimony, which were transmitted to you last week by the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Council. The trust counties cannot support goals that change, expand, or obfuscate the management focus of the lands. The trust counties acknowledge there may be other laws that affect state forest land management in addition to the greatest permanent value rules. Strategies, actions, or standards that are in conflict with the management focus must be accommodated only to the extent required to meet other laws or rules. If a goal is intended to support the implementation of a law or rule, ODF should clearly state what law or rule that is and be specific as to the requirements of the law or rule. Before accepting any of the draft goals, the Board of Forestry should ask ODF to reconcile the language of the draft goals with the greatest permanent value administrative rules. Forest Management Planning Administrative Rule requires that forest resource management goals state what the state forester intends to achieve. The Forest Management Planning Administrative Rule, OAR 629-035-0030 sub 2 sub C, states that forest management plans goals are statements of what the state forester intends to achieve for each forest resource within the planning area, consistent with OAR 629-035-0020. Again, greatest permanent value. The draft goals do not state what the state forester intends to achieve. The goals lack definitions of key terms such as enhance and resilient. The goals do not provide a statement for future desired conditions, nor a way to assess whether a goal has been achieved. The Board of Forestry, the trust counties, and stakeholders are left to interpret for themselves what will occur under each draft goal. ODF has explained and managed actions will become clear after, ODF has explained that managed actions will become clear after it develops the forest management plan strategies. However, the administrative rule states OAR 629-035-0030 sub 2 sub D, and I quote, management strategies which describe how the state forester will manage the forest resources in the planning area to achieve the goals articulated in the plan. The strategy shall identify management techniques the state forester may use to achieve the goals of the plan during the implementation phase of the plan. The strategies describe only how the state forester will manage the forest resources, not what the outcomes will be. The outcomes must be clear from the goals alone. In conclusion, the draft goals should be rewritten such that they meet the contractual obligation to the counties and comply with administrative rules. Goals should be consistent with the GPV value and should clearly state what the state forester intends to achieve. Until these changes are made, the trust counties cannot support the draft goals. Again, respectfully submitted, David Yamamoto, Tillamook County Commissioner, Chair of the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Council. I want to thank you for your time today, and I'm willing to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Yamamoto. If we've got any questions for you or Commissioner Sweet, any board members with questions or comments at this time? Not hearing any, thank you both for that presentation, and we will move on to our next item.
Thank you so much.